Binge the full week of The Ray Taylor Show ad-free over at inspireddisorder.com/plus.
This is The Ray Taylor Show.
Swipe Up, episode 224. This is the podcast where I share my unfiltered thoughts and on the latest news and entertainment updates. I'm your host, Ray Taylor, and on every Thursday, I'll be bringing you my fresh perspective on a variety of topics. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about some life advice from the oldest person alive. I'm going to be talking about the inspirational story of actor Barry Keoghan. And I'm going to be talking about sex clubs coming to Palm Springs. So let's get it started, shall we, with the first story. The world's oldest person reveals one of the keys to long life is avoiding toxic people. Maria Brenyas Moreira, born in 1907, is currently the world's oldest person at 115 years old. Miss Moreira became the oldest living human after the death of French nun Lucille Randon earlier this month, who was 118 years old. That is ridiculous to be that old. She has lived through two world wars, two global pandemics, and a civil war. Miss Moreira has offered insights on her longevity and revealed order, tranquility, good connection with family and friends, contact with nature, emotional stability, no worries, no regrets, lots of positivity, and staying away from toxic people are all her kind of, which seems like a big no duh. Oh, just live a happy life connected to nature and good people. And it's like, if only life was that easy. If only life was that easy. So much of life is you're forced to be, you know, you get a job somewhere. That's not, a lot of the times people don't like their jobs. And even if maybe you get a job you like, you might work with people you don't like. Like, there's a lot of situations in life where it's not so easy to remove toxic people. It's not so easy to be emotionally stable, to not have worries or regrets. You know, obviously, to just in general, to not have those things, I guess, is good, kind of way of living. But it seems pretty self-explanatory. I would imagine if you had all of those things going for you, then you're probably enjoying life. And, you know, if you're not dealing with stress, I mean, stress is one of the leading causes of disease. Stress releases all kinds of toxic shit in your body. So, you know, makes sense. She currently lives in Catalonia nursing home for the last 22 years. She lost her father to pulmonary tuberculosis on the ship to Spain and permanently lost her hearing in one ear after a fall. She has three children, 11 grandchildren, and 13 great-grandchildren. It is believed that she is the oldest person to have recovered from COVID-19 after she caught the virus in May 2020. The Guinness Book of World Records has recognized her as the oldest person alive. She mentioned that being recognized as the oldest person alive has been, quote-unquote, stressful. Being acknowledged that she is the oldest person alive has created one of the ingredients to avoid in being the oldest person alive. So kind of a cycle of bad things, I guess. And she will not be giving any more interviews, which is good. Go back to her stress-free life of just enjoying her positive lifestyle. Kind of crazy. I mean, obviously, makes sense. Makes complete and utter sense. If you're living a life that is free of stress and you are surrounded by people that are good and nice and not toxic, and if everything in your life is good, I would imagine that would, in not every case, but I would imagine that would give you the best opportunity to avoid life being shortened in any way. kind of crazy. Obviously, good advice. Good advice. Attaining and following that advice, I would imagine, is the tricky part. And for me, this past pandemic, past few years, actually even before that, since I left the day job that I used to work at, where I was surrounded by toxic people, where I was in a place where I didn't really feel welcome, where my work wasn't valued, where my life, the thing I did for 40 hours a week, wasn't valued and was like criticized and constantly harassed for doing my job in a good way. Cutting that out of my life, doing things with my life that give me purpose, doing things with my life that I can look back on and be proud of, and not have to be constantly harassed and talked down to and insulted by managers and coworkers and customers, definitely changed my life. And then furthermore, cutting out toxic people, huge advantage. It is amazing how much toxic people can just make everything horrible. They take so much energy. They take so much attention. It is amazing. Even like cutting out toxic people, getting rid of those people over the years, but even more recently where I'm living, there was a person that used to be living here that is a horrible person that I have known is a horrible person for a long time. But they were in a relationship with one of my friends. And despite saying what my thoughts were on the thing, it's up to my friend to want to end that relationship. It is up to them to get rid of this toxic person. But because I need a place to live, and I was given a place to live, had to share this space in many ways with that toxic person until finally they were let go of. And the feeling before that event, when that toxic person was around, they didn't even need to be around. It's just the idea that they could come home at any point, even though they were rarely here, was just put an umbrella of stress over everybody. Everybody that was here. And then once they left, instantly changed. It was like a weight had been lifted off. And it's amazing how many people will spend their lives making excuses for the most toxic people in their life. They will, and it's probably because of trauma from when they were a kid, right? They're repeating the same types of toxic people that they grew up around, parents, relatives, whatever. And they repeating those traumas by having similarly toxic people in their life, because it's the thing that they grew up around, it's the thing that they are used to dealing with, that type of that version, that flavor, that genre of stress in your life. It's just ridiculous. The complete night and day difference cutting out toxic people, whether it's a roommate, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a coworker, a neighbor, somebody that's just like, that is one of the rules I have kind of made rules for myself over the past few years, right? After leaving my job and trying to, right, victory or death when it comes to this life I want to create for myself, right? Trying to make a living doing the things that I enjoy doing. I've made, you know, kind of really restructuring my life from the ground up. And I've made like rules of things, and a lot more rules during the pandemic. A lot of rules, especially around 2015, 2016, when a certain person was running for presidency and really emboldened the worst kinds of people to be as loud as possible, right? Which those people are just continuing to be, right? And one of the rules is to just cut those people out completely. Cut not only those people, but people that are willing to support those kinds of people. People that are willing to make excuses for toxic people, that are willing to allow these people who just spread nothing but hate, that push like just delusional conspiracy garbage in order to justify their hatred, to justify their shitty attitude, to justify their selfishness. Like, cutting out those people directly, but also cutting out people that are willing to compromise with those people, willing to overlook their toxicity and to promote those kinds of people and to continue to give those people their energy. I cut those people out too. Very angry. And it's interesting how a lot of people have really been angry with me following these rules I set for myself in order to eliminate toxicity, to not only cut out the toxic people, but to go a little bit further and to cut out the people that enable the toxic people. Cut out the people that overlook the toxicity of people in order to justify whatever. So I guess in some ways I'm following this woman's advice. I wish it were that easy. I think it's a process of a lot of small adjustments and maintaining those rules, maintaining whatever boundaries you have set up, not allowing your life to be infested by negative people. And it's tough because you have to let go of people that you do care about. And you feel bad. Like, I feel bad for the people that I've cut out that are empowering and like just enabling these toxic people. Right? I feel bad. I feel bad that they're stuck in this position where they feel they need to enable these people, where they themselves can't let go. But it's too close proximity. I need cut out. See ya. Bye. Hurts me. But in the long run, I feel better because it's that infected, that cancer has been removed, right? And they're an infected part, right? They're continuing to be infected by the cancer. And I can't change. They have to make their change on their own. But I don't want to be part of it as they decide to either make their change or to continue allowing this toxicity in their life. So, I don't know. Interesting. Good words of advice, obviously, from the oldest person alive. You know. Let's take a quick break from this episode because I want to promote. Are you looking for a way to take your love of The Ray Taylor Show to the next level? Look no further than Inspired Disorder Plus. As a member, you'll get access to a whole host of amazing perks, including the full week of shows, ad-free in both audio and video versions, a live painting archive, early access to the many faces, members-only discounts and deals, a podcast back catalog with over 600 episodes. But that's not all. As a member, you'll get access to my personal blog as well as my creative writing. You'll also get the chance to ask me anything you want. With all of these benefits and more, Inspired Disorder Plus is a must-have for any fan of The Ray Taylor Show. So don't wait. Go sign up now. Head on over to inspireddisorder.com/plus and start enjoying all of the amazing perks of the membership. And now, let's get back to the show. Let's move on to another kind of a good story in some ways. From 13 foster homes to Oscar nominee, the inspiring story of Barry Keoghan. Every family was good to us, he says. Barry Keoghan's performance in The Banshees of Inisherin has received an Oscar nomination. A movie that I enjoyed. A character that I really enjoyed. A character that really I had a lot of love for. I love seeing him in the other movies that he's been in. which are like he's Green Knight, American Animals, Dunkirk, Killing of a Sacred Deer, which I haven't seen Killing of a Sacred Deer, but I know it's one that's on my list because the director that's one of these up-and-coming directors that likes to do interesting things with film. And so I'm a fan of this guy, and interesting to see his story. Coogan played the role in the movie Dominic Kearney in the film, and deceptively sharp young man who played a crucial role in the story. Agreed. His childhood was marred by hardship, including his mother passing away and being placed in foster care. He developed his acting skills through school plays and watching films by sneaking into the cinema. In 2011, he landed a small role in a crime filled called Between the Canals, and later studied at a local Dublin-based acting school. He has appeared in a variety of films and television shows, including Dunkirk, Killing of a Sacred Deer, Chernobyl. Have not seen that. Heard it's good. The Eternals. Have not seen that. Have not heard good things about that, but would be interested for not only his performance, see his performance in that, but also Kumail Nanjiani. I've heard, you know, I like him as well. This is his first Oscar nomination, and it's seen as a capstone moment in his inspiring journey. It is likely not the last time he will be nominated for an Oscar. There was a deleted scene from the Batman, the most recent Batman of the Joker in Arkham Asylum. Amazing. He played the Joker in that. Amazing scene. Didn't even put it together until researching for this. That was like he's credited as like inmate in Arkham, but which is an amazing deleted scene. I highly recommend checking it out if you haven't seen it. I would imagine if you're a fan of the Batman, you've seen it. It was kind of going around when that movie first came out last year. So definitely excited to see what he does. Crazy story, but also somebody that clearly knew what he wanted to do. And it is kind of surprising how easy it is to follow your dreams when you have nothing, when you have nothing to lose, right? He had nothing. His family was gone. He was in foster care, clearly had a passion for film, had a passion for acting, took opportunities, made the best of opportunities, tried to develop his skills in his craft, develop to get better. It's a journey for him to get better at being an actor, to follow his journey of being an actor. And when you've kind of come from nothing, when you have nothing to fear, nothing to lose, it's almost like a superpower in some ways. You're able to push a lot farther than a lot of, because everybody else that has plan B's, that have fallbacks, they're always looking for that moment to just give up and go to that fallback. But when you have nothing to fall back on, when it is victory or death, when you have that kind of mentality, whether it's I need to go as far as I possibly can with this, regardless, not thinking of at this point I'm going to give up and go to plan B when there is no plan B, it's surprising how much farther you can go, how much more you can survive and take to keep going until you start seeing that passion start to pay off, right? And I would imagine for him, for anybody, that there is no destination for him, right? Even if he wins the Oscar, he's not going to stop. It's not the end of his journey. That's just acknowledgement that he's on the right path on his journey, and that he will continue to do and develop and grow and hopefully get rewarded with more acknowledgments as he becomes the better version of himself every time and grows as an artist. So I appreciate that. I was a fan of his in Banshees of Inisherin. I thought his character really stood out. He's definitely super sympathetic in that movie. Loved him in Dunkirk. Obviously amazing as the Joker in that deleted scene. Excited to see whatever he does. The American Animal, kind of a heist movie. I really love that as well. So super excited to see whatever he does next, and interesting to see that that's kind of his origin story in a lot of ways. Great stuff. Let's take a quick break from this episode because I want to talk about, are you looking for the perfect gift for that art lover in your life? Look no further than inspiredisorder.com. Our gift cards can be used to purchase original artwork from The Many Faces, a collection of over 2,000 original abstract ink portraits. These one-of-a-kind pieces make for a truly unique and meaningful gift. But that's not all. Our gift cards can also be used to purchase high-quality prints and t-shirts featuring these amazing paintings. Plus, if the recipient is a fan of The Ray Taylor Show, they can use the gift card to purchase merchandise from the show as well. So why wait? Head on over to inspireddisorder.com and purchase a gift card today. Your loved one will be sure to appreciate the thought and creativity behind such a unique gift. Thank you for considering inspireddisorder.com for all of your gift needs. And now, back to the show. Let's move on to the last story. Palm Springs, California, to allow sex clubs to operate, but with restrictions. Palm Springs City Council passed a new rule allowing adult sex clubs to legally operate in the city. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's... I would imagine part of that is strip clubs, right? Because there's no strip clubs in Palm Springs, right? There's one in, what is that part? Is that Rancho Mirage? I forget where Showgirls is at. It could be Cathedral City. I think it's Cathedral City. In like a like warehouse district kind of thing. There's a lot of weed shops in that area too. And it seems like that will be kind of the similar zoning that these establishments will be. But these sex clubs, it's like an interesting term. I don't know. Adult sex venues where adults can engage in sexual activities for less than 24, you know, for less than 24 hours will now be legal, right? What does that mean? Does it mean like, is that like prostitution? Because it's not like, I know there's places in Nevada that have legal prostitution. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing. And the valley's growing a lot. Like there's, they just built an arena out here, which is insane. And I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Operators must work within public health departments to manage potential issues with STDs and drug use, blah blah blah. Obviously, legalizing these things will and forcing them to be regulated and to adhere to standards, public health standards, whatnot. It just protects everybody. That's why you shouldn't. That's why drugs should be legalized, right? Just regulate them. Give people who have problems with drugs, give them treatment. Let's not turn people into criminals. We need to get rid of the system we have of putting citizens in cages in order to become modern day slaves, right? Fighting forest fires because they're imprisoned for, it's just ridiculous how all our systems are set up. The current zoning limitations only allow adult-oriented establishments to operate in specific areas, mostly zoned for manufacturing. The 650-foot away from residential areas will now be changed. Adult-oriented businesses cannot be adjacent to residential neighborhoods. Right, okay. It has to be in, like, shopping areas. Makes sense. Adult-themed merchandise or behavior... cannot be visible from residential areas, okay? Operating hours will be extended. Adult establishments need to only stay closed from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., right? So kind of like bars, I guess. City Council delayed its vote on easing public nudity restrictions, partially on nipple exposure by women. and discussions were made over gender neutrality on the issue and the possible criminalization of public breastfeeding for women. That's just crazy. Men can show their nipples. Women can't show their nipples. It is like the amount of insanity that comes along with like religious fundamentalism in that's in like all of our laws and so much of our country is just insane. It is insane. It is insane. Interesting. I don't know what that means. I'm not like, even if prostitution was legal, I mean, maybe there'd be a time in my life where I'm sure there's been moments in my life where if it was like available and legal and, you know, like scheduling massage, then probably. And if it wasn't like the stigma wasn't around it, sure. Sure. Get that release. You know, I'm not in a relationship. You know, I don't really enjoy casual relationships. I don't do well in casual relationships. I get attached. I actually prefer having sex with somebody I'm in a relationship with. I enjoy sex way more with somebody I'm in a relationship with. It's far less stressful. And the emotions that are involved, regardless whether you're in a casual thing or not, like, I don't know. But if there was just like a business set up, yeah, I probably would utilize it, maybe, you know? I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not a big fan of strip clubs, though. Stopped going to those in my 20s. Just don't really have a desire. I remember one of the last times I went, I was just like, I didn't have money to spend, and I was really tired. And it's like just constantly being bugged by these strippers asking to get private dances. It's just like, I feel bad saying no, right? Obviously, like, I'm supposed to be there to spend money, but it's such a, the way that's, I don't know. It's just something that I haven't been into. Just haven't had a desire since my 20s. Fun in my 20s. Super cool, you know, super cool in my 20s. But, yeah, interesting to see. It is kind of cool that Palm Springs, despite there being a lot of right-wing fascists in the valley, usually during the winter months when people are here, like they own a house, they own property out here that they live some of the year out here, and then they go back to wherever they're from, right? So a lot of people with money have places out here, so they also bring a lot of the right-wing mentality. Palm Springs itself is like a major destination for LGBTQ. So very much more Palm Springs specifically, much more open to logic and reality, it seems. So just a story when it came across my feed, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I want to talk about that. And I tried to look it up. The only information was on the local newspaper's website, which you have to pay. There's a paywall. So I didn't get to do much in-depth research on the article as I would have liked to do. But a very interesting thing. Don't really know what that actually means, what you know, sex clubs mean. But it's cool, man. Let's do some shout-outs and get out of here, shall we? Shout-out to Pubbity. Shout-out to Jamie Lee Curtis. Shout-out to NBC Palm Springs. And most importantly, shout-out to you. I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of Swipe Up. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts and insights on the latest news and entertainment updates. I'll see you next Thursday for more unfiltered opinions and fresh perspectives. New episodes of The Ray Taylor Show come out every single day. Subscribe on YouTube and everywhere our podcasts are found. Binge the full week over at inspireddisorder.com/plus. Buy Ray Taylor Show merch over at inspireddisorder.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Peace out!
Today is the day where you wake up and you realize that everything that you've been dreaming about, everything that you've been wanting, every goal and wish and hope that you've ever had can become real. Dreams can come true. What you manifest in your mind, you can bring to reality.